The manager of every store has within his right to give you 10% right off the top. But people don't ask.
You know, and I think a lot of times, too, people think that if you're successful financially and you have millions of dollars, you shouldn't do these things. But what happens, what I found in watching a lot of my millionaire mentors, they may have, let's say, 10 million, 50 million, 5 million, 100 million, whatever, but they still also have budgets for each little thing they do. So even though they might have 5 million or 2 million in the pocket, if they're going to buy something, their budget may only allow them to go to $1,500. And somebody thinks, well, boy, you know, you're a millionaire. You're being awful cheap. And, you know, it's $1,600. Why won't you go 15? And you've got millions. And yep. You can't think that way.
Yep.
That,
no.
This is what makes millionaires millionaires.
This is what, exactly, you said it. This is the reason they are millionaires. If the guy who's worth 50 million would probably only be worth 40 million.
Yeah.
If he didn't do it. If the guy who's worth a million would probably be only worth 600,000. You've got to shave right off the top because that's your money. You pay yourself first. That 10% yeah. is your money that goes into your fund. And you've got to have that discipline to do it.
That's true. And I give you an example. I just went down to this island in the Caribbean that I go to quite regularly. And I took a new salesperson with me. And I took his entire family, took his wife, took his kids, took a whole bunch of people down. This was my money. And I bought lobster for everybody. I mean, we had tons of lobster. 5 days, they paid for nothing. Now, if I go on a business trip where I actually have a budget for a particular trip, and if I don't have a budget for a four-door car or a midsize, and the budget says I can only go to a compact, I go to a compact, even though I just went to the Bahamas and splurged thousands of dollars on my friends and family.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's something. You know, I've got the same philosophy. I'll walk into a restaurant, and I'll meet some friends there, and I'll pick up their check. They won't even know. I'll just tell the waitress, here's my card. I'm picking up that check because they're good friends. And that means nothing to me. That's pure joy. But yet, I'll go around the corner and I'll go somewhere to buy something, and I just won't pay the full price. So when you're living your life, personal life, that's your money. That's the money that you saved from your business negotiating and busting your brain. That's the money you're spending. That's the reason you've got that extra money to spend. So keep, you know, my dad always said, work like a dog and eat like a king. Now, maybe the saying doesn't work here in United States because dogs are treated way too well. But in Jamaica, we don't have indoor dogs. They're all outdoor dogs, and they get one meal of whatever is left from our table. So dogs are not treated that good. They're mostly watchdogs. So, but what he was trying to say is don't be cheap. Like, the reason he told me that is we were in a restaurant once and there was a choice between chicken and lobster cost a lot more. And I ordered the chicken and he said, but I know you like lobster. Why didn't you get the lobster? I said, well, because the lobster costs more. He said, no, son. This is why I work hard. You've got to eat like a king. Now, when we go home or when you come and help me on Saturdays at the factory, I want you to work like a dog. I want you to work very hard. But right now, we're eating. We eat like a king. And I've learned, you know, some of those things make a lot of sense.
They do.
You know, enjoy life. It's not a dress rehearsal. This is it. We're going around once, and who knows what's aftermath. Nobody has died and come back and said, we know what's going on after we die. Nobody knows. Live it like this is your last day on earth. Live a good life, but work hard.
You know, we're talking about the incentives and keeping the employees happy and customers and so forth, but we also talked earlier, too, about the team. But I guess you have to make sure you have that right team too, because, you know, not just the team about your financial people and your CPA and lawyers and so forth, but a team of people who are with you and you, maybe your downline if you're in network marketing or if you have a couple employees. Because if you get the wrong person, boy, it can be a poison.
I am a strong believer of that. I cannot, if someone is going to make me $1 million, but they're a grouch, I don't want anything to do with them. I cannot have a grouch or a complainer or a whiner around me, because they ebb your strength. They take away the strength that you have. They cut your Samson hair. And that's those people, man. I'd rather have a cheerful, happy person who's willing to work with you and make you only $300,000 rather than a grouch, because the happy people keep you. If you feed off them, they feed off you. And that's the growth. That's the house on solid foundation. A grouch, there's no solid foundation. That house can fall anytime. So and this is just my personal feeling. I prefer to be around people who laugh often, who laugh loud, who appreciate life, who measure their life by the good times that they have. And we need to remember that life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Mm. That's, we need to have happiness.
Say that one again, that's good.
You know, we need to remember that it's not measured, life itself, your working life, your home life, is not measured by the number of breaths we take. So if we live to be 80 or 90, I'd rather live shorter years, but have more moments that take my breath away, that amaze me. And you had mentioned something like that to me earlier, that it wasn't your motto or it wasn't your intent. Can you repeat that?
Are you talking about like with customers? Yeah, it's something that Les Brown said earlier in the program. This is back to, you know, taking care of customers. He says it's not our intent to please or satisfy our customers. It is our intent to amaze them. And I don't know about you, but I think that's powerful.
It is so powerful. I mean, that is really, you're starting off with a negative connotation. So somebody is saying,
okay, what a jerk.
Jerk, 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 jerk. And then boom, you take their breath away. So that's what I mean to you. You've got to learn to take people's breath away, to amaze them. That means you've got to think out of the box.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks in the box. You have got to think out of the box. Not just think out of the box, but act upon it.
That's you know, I'm a firm believer. Let's take that into two subjects. Let's talk about amazing the customer, and then let's talk about thinking outside of the box. So let's talk about amazing the customer. Here's some of the things that I do, and tell me, you know, your thinking on that, because I know one thing, like I said, you're a master at is retail, and you know how to take care of the customer. When one of my associates are on the phone and they're finishing up with one of our customers or clients, one of the things I'll ask them, if I'm in, you know, in the area, I'll tap them on the shoulder and I'll ask them, how did you amaze that customer? So it could be, you know, with that friendly happiness, or maybe there's something a little extra they did for them. They went out of the way. Some little thing. There's so many different ways to amaze the customer. And that is, like you said, that is thinking outside of the box.
Yes.
So what might be some of your suggestions on how we could amaze the customer?
You know, again, back to service. I think service is where you can amaze a customer. There is service, and then there is service.
Because you can only cook a food so good.
Right. And I hate to bring my daughter up in this, but it's how she amazes the customer is, at the end of the meal, she brings them a complimentary dessert.
Right, like the pie you were saying.
Boom. They're amazed. I mean, this little girl is buying me, you know, dessert. She's not the owner. She's not anybody special. She likes me as a diner. I come here often, so she buys me dessert. That's amazing the customer. That's thinking out of the box, and really not everyone can do this. It comes with practice. And the truth of the matter is, if it's something that is beyond what you can improve, then get help. You know, get outside help, because many times you are stuck in that box. That is your life, your world, and it's hard for you to be on the outside looking down at yourself. Get help. Get people like you, Gary,
sure,
to help. Get specialists. You know, I'm a firm believer of that. I don't mind. I don't have a problem paying people. If I get one good idea, it's money in my pocket.
Absolutely. So, and I enjoy going to companies and people that respect me for what I know and show them ways that they can amaze that customer, because it just means so much to them, just little things.
You're opening up a whole new world. It's a whole new world, because a box is only a box, but outside the box is the rest of the universe. So there's a lot more once you break through. And that's probably a good word to use. It's a key word. You've got to break through. Once you break through that box, your whole thinking becomes different. It becomes the opposite of most people. Like you say, when someone walks in and the first thing you say is, hey, I got to have 60 days. Well, I'm the exact opposite of that. You know, I want the best price.
Right.
You know, but I try to get the best of both. And the only way you can come up with these thoughts is once you start thinking that way, think up.
It's that box that limits us. And I think it's part of the conditioning too. You know, we just get so used to it and so used to it. And if we're not around people who think outside of the box, we get conditioned to stay in there.
Yes, you're a child. When you're a little baby, your mommy says, no, don't touch that. No, don't touch that. They never tell you, yes, touch
it
this.
And see what happens.
Yeah, they, it's always no, no, no. You're growing up. Mom, I want a Coke. No, you can't have a Coke. Mom, I want to eat some cookies. No, it's dinner time. So you're conditioned, whether you like it or not, to no, no, no. So you're in that little box. But there are a lot of yeses out there.
Yeah, quite a bit of yeses. But I think we just have to make sure we see the opportunity of that. One of the things, too, I want to get your thinking on, Mana, is what I find with a lot of people, just I think it's just human in general, is the lack of follow-through. The lack of follow-through on ideas, the lack of follow-through on little, you know, daily tasks. How do you personally make sure you follow through on the big things? Then when you delegate specific things to other people, how do you make sure they're following through and then you finally know it's been completed?
That, you know, that's so easy. I guess it's second nature to me. For me, I have no problem. I have a simple calendar. You can use a hand calendar. You can use a computer calendar. There's so much more technology at your fingertips to help you with this. But once you have a calendar, so today I ask you, Gary, to do something for me, but you must give a specific deadline date. So if today is the 1st of January, I will tell you, Gary, you've got till the 14th. I need for you to complete this task. Then what I do is I put in my calendar that on the 15th, did you get this task finished by Gary? And so therefore, that's my follow-up to make sure it's done. You, of course, have to find your own ways to follow through on what I've asked you to do. But this works for me. I cannot, if I delegate to 15 or 20 or 30 people, it's quite difficult. Somebody is not going to give me back on time what I need. And how am I going to remember? The calendar is the only way for me to go. And it works for me. I have no problem. It's a habit.
Let me interrupt you.
Sure
thing. I think that's the key, a habit. Because for me, I have literally nearly created an obsession about unfinished business. When I start something and it's unfinished, I'm practically obsessed until it's followed through and get it done. And you said the point, it's got to be a habit. If you're not in the habit of starting something and finishing it, the odds are against you to begin with.
Yes, yes. Listen, you know, you want to be in business, you want to make money, you want to make more money than the rest of the world, you've got to do things differently. It's as simple as that. Otherwise, if you do the same thing the next guy does and he's not making any money, then that's insane. That the definition of insanity
right.
is doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. You cannot. You've got to do something different. You've got to endure. You've got to grieve. You've got to create good habits. once you get those habits in, they last you for the rest of your life. After that, it's second nature. You don't even know you're doing it. If you and I are driving in a car and you remind me, we talk about something and I want to remember it, and I'm driving the car, I got no pen, I got no pencil, I usually switch my watch from my left hand to my right hand.
I do something very, yeah, or I'll turn mine upside down. Give me more on that.
There
What's
you
your
go.
Purpose?
Well, my purpose is when I look at my watch, it's not there on my left hand. So if it's on my right hand, oh yeah, I got to remember X, Y, and Z. And it works for me. I've taught all my kids to do this. They all do it. They don't forget things as often. They still forget stuff, but not as often. Because there are times when you will be where there's no pen, no paper, no phone. Because if there's a phone, I will phone myself at home and leave myself a message on the recorder as a reminder. So just this frees up your mind. It doesn't tighten up your mind with remembering this. It frees your mind is still open and happy and cool and ready for more ideas. So because whatever ideas you have are already, you will be reminded. You've reminded yourself. They'll be on pen and paper, or your watch will remind you, or one way or the other. Keep your mind uncluttered.
And I think where the missing link is on that too, Matt, is as silly as it sounds, when a person thinks of something important that they need to do and follow through on, and they think, okay, let me go ahead and switch my watch or write it down, the lack of discipline just to stop mentally what you're doing and just move your watch or write it down, it's mind-boggling to me why people can't or won't do that. Like you said, it does take some discipline to pick up your phone and call yourself, as silly or stupid as that may sound, but the effects and the benefits from that, it's incredible, because you're following through, and you can't get things done, as we both know, if you don't follow through. It's the ability to take that action.
Yeah, but that's a good thing. I'm glad people don't do that, because that puts me in the top 5% of the earners, or top 2% of the earners. If everybody did that, everybody was sharp, everybody did everything the way we do it, then we're just another schmuck in the pool. So I'm kind of glad people don't do that.
Yeah.
But it's
and that's a trick. I mean, that's one of the secrets.
Yes,
because many times do you have a little idea, or even I don't care if it's something like I got to go buy something for the dog or the food, and you forget about it when all you have to do is the moment you thought about it is just mentally stop and put it down. It, like you said, it takes some discipline.
Because when you remember it is when you're in your pajamas, ready to go to bed, and you say, "Darn, I got to get back into my clothes, go back to the grocery and buy the dog food." So why not make life easier for yourself? You know, even in the middle of the night here, if you look at my night table, I've got a little recorder there. I've got the post-it note. I've got a pencil. I don't like pens because if you don't use them for a while, they dry out. So I use pencils. You know, it's a simple thing, but it's true. I don't like pens. They dry out on you. So if I get up in the middle of the night, I jot it down in the dark.
I've done that. You know something silly.
And in
silly.
The morning you say, "What did I write?" And you spend an hour trying to decipher it, but at least you've got a general idea, and then you pick up on it.
Right. Sometimes my wife and I will be in bed, the lights are out, we're half asleep, half awake, and she'll say, "Throw the alarm console on the floor." And when we wake up, it's not supposed to be on the floor, so when we see it, that's to remind us of... But, I mean, especially with her, she doesn't miss a beat. If I say, "Hey, honey, don't forget to..." Boom. She immediately knows. Pick up the pen, write it down. And it takes some discipline. While we're on discipline, let's focus on that. It does take a tremendous amount of discipline outside of just the simple things of writing things down. The discipline to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock in the morning and continue to follow through. How important is that discipline to you, Manu?
Well, you know, it's not a... That doesn't become a discipline. That becomes like the internal push. It's like when a baby is born. How does the baby know when to get the milk, or suckling their mother's breast, they're getting their milk? Who told the baby that? The baby doesn't have any sense, but the baby knows where to get milk. So it's instinct. If you have something to do, it just happens. You'll find that you have an unfinished task. It just, your eyes just open earlier, and your mind won't let you rest. It just beats you with a baseball bat until you get up and you do it. And one of it's
my,
a joy.
One of my things is if you're thinking you're having to use too much discipline, well, then maybe you don't enjoy it enough or don't understand the whole process of it. Because if you, the more you enjoy it, obviously, the more you believe in what you're doing, less discipline is attached to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You, exactly.
And I think the confusion, not to interrupt you, I think the confusion that we have sometimes is discipline has many meanings. So when we are younger, discipline has the spank connotation. As we get older, oh, discipline, don't like that because I associate spanking to it.
Yes, yes. But really, the discipline it's a short period. It's 3 weeks. Then it becomes a habit. Once it becomes a habit, it's you don't realize it. It's like when you jump in your car, you start it, you move the gear, you turn around, you reverse, you do all this without thinking. It's a habit. So the discipline is a short period for any one item. Then it becomes a habit. Then you pick up something else you want to do. Create like that, switching the watch or what, do that for a few times, it'll become a habit. Then eventually all of this put together makes you a more effective person. You can do the work of five people.
Yeah, that's very true. So how do you manage your time to do that? What do you do to manage your time? And give me a rough idea of, I mean, I know right now you're in the middle of, you know, doing your franchises, but what normally when you're in your zone, if you will, what are your normal ways of managing your time, and how do you start your day? Give me an example of day from beginning to the end.
You know, there are some people who can juggle, and they can't live without juggling. They need to multitask. I'm one of those people. If I don't have multitasking, I get bored. You know, so if my plate is not overflowing, I'm bored. So my plate, I'm usually busy all the time, but I get everything done. Again, I use the use of the calendar. I delegate. I have a good team around me.
Do you start off in the morning and say, okay, today this has got to be accomplished? Do you wake up at a specific time every morning, or do you change that?
I change that. For me, it's gotten, you know, I don't need to. I have a lot of autopilot. And I don't need to get up at 7 in the morning anymore to do anything particular. I get up whenever I get up. I go to sleep whenever I go to sleep. But my day is already made up on a calendar. On my computer, 2 o'clock, I've got to go to the doctor. 3 o'clock, I'm meeting the banker. 4 o'clock, I'm meeting with Gary, whatever. And I give myself about half an hour between mm-hmm. each appointment. So if I'm running late, I'm still not running late. And that's important. I don't like to arrive late. I don't like people to come to my appointments late because they're wasting my time. I don't really want to hear if your car broke down or you were caught in traffic. You should have done better than that. There's nothing that starts off a meeting bad for me than when I have to wait for someone. And half the time, they don't even apologize. Yep. And that really gets to me. So please, folks, you know, think of other people. Be there early and set your calendar in such a way. If a meeting is going to take you an hour, give yourself an hour and a half. You've got half an hour. I'm sure when you have your briefcase with you, there's half an hour worth of paperwork you can be sitting and doing. And that's what I do. I go to a doctor's office. Sometimes I wait an hour, hour and a half. What do you think I do? You think I sit and steam over it? Yes, I used to. Not anymore. I have a lot of paperwork in my attaché. I have a lot of reading material. I make sure I always have stuff to fill my time. And it's not just fill my time. It's things that I have to do anyway. So if I'm writing a speech, I can do it at the doctor's office the same way I can sitting at home on my computer. So, you know, just use your time wisely.
Wow, what a tremendous amount of very, very useful nuts and bolts information. Manna has certainly changed the way I work on my business, and I hope he'll do the same for you. If you'd like to email us and let us know that there's something that he has said that's made an impact on your business, feel free to do so. And again, please understand that we can't respond to all the emails, but we can at least get them to him.
After we finished doing this interview, Manna said to me, you know, I really did enjoy doing this. I guess I would like to consult with anyone who wants to set up a detailed policy manual for their business. So the word's out. If you would like a quote from him and you would like him to work with your company, email us and I'll make sure it's forwarded to him. And remember, work on your business, not in it.